I ended the sermon last week reading a quote from a book. And it's a book, tell me the title of it, I just gave it to you.
Heaven Awaits the Bride.
I guess it isn't that. Heaven Awaits the Bride. It's by Anna Roundtree, which actually there isn't an Anna Roundtree. There's an Ann Roundtree and an, I think, Albert or something like that. And boy, I am hot here. Yeah, there's a good spot. I think I'm okay if I don't talk. Anyway, it's an unusual book. It probably even could be controversial because, I mean, it's not the Word of God. It's not the Bible. I mean, as most books are. It has a ton of scriptural references to everything she says. But what it is a vision of heaven that she believes that she saw and experienced. Actually, she goes further and says, I actually was in heaven, but you can argue that one or not. But it's a vision that she has of what heaven was like. You can listen to it on YouTube. I think it's under a different name, isn't it? When Heaven Opened?
It's under the Heavens Opened.
The Heavens Opened. Or we have the book here, and I did actually read it and then listened to it, read it, listened to it, went back and forth like that because I'm slow and I need to absorb it. So, but it was good. And one of the favorite parts is she actually goes to the throne of God. This is the Father. And I wanted to start out with the quote that I ended with last week. There's enough of you here, this will be new to anyway, but it is Anna up on the lap of God the Father in her vision. And she says, whoops, there. She says the following, he, and this is God the Father, said, those who are called to draw near to me will share in my peace. But only those who hope have peace, continual peace. If hope is gone, the soul is tossed to and fro seeking safe harbor. I want my children's eyes set on me, hoping in me, not looking at the passing panorama of earthly events being played out before them. I want them to look beyond, to look up, to see at last the distant shore towards which they are sailing, filling their hearts and minds, their eyes and ears with me. This will bring the hope that gives peace. The title of my sermon today is Hope. And I have to tell you, I give a hope sermon every year because I think it's one of the most important elements in our Christian walk. Without hope, what do we have? The people I see who quit, who drop out, who give up, who get mad, who go, they lose hope. And Jesus wants us to know he's the hope. Let me go back to the beginning of this and start with the first part. I want to break it down a little. But only those who have hope have peace, continual peace. If hope is gone, the soul is tossed to and fro, seeking safe harbor. This is sort of on a similar analogy to the two stomachs that Nikki was talking about, in that you're always hungry until you have Jesus. You never have that peace until you have hope. I mean, hope is a really big thing because what we're striving after is peace. We may think it's something else, but that's what we're striving after. Biblical peace is so much bigger than just feeling calm. It's about a well-being. It's about a financial well-being. It's a physical well-being, health-wise. It's about a prosperity. Everything that we strive for is to get that peace, that shalom peace that God talks about. And we may think that we're striving after fame and fortune. We may think we're striving after a better job, more money. We may be striving after some sort of an addiction that covers up our pain so that that goes away. We're striving after peace. We're going after the peace. Without hope, we can have no peace. Now, Jesus is the source of our hope, and without him, we're just utterly lost. The Bible says in James, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, we all consider it joy when we feast, when we face trials, right? We're, oh, trials. Oh, cool. I'm joyful over not. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So we need to really have faith, and faith is pursuing after God, putting him first, actually going, okay, I sort of tried a lot of things, and I believe that Jesus is the only way. He's the only one who's going to come through. I may get mad at him because he doesn't come through when I want him to or how I want him to, but I know he comes through. And then the same verse continues. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I mean, we need to persevere. We need to continue to go after the Lord. And when it doesn't work out, we need to go after him more. We need to trust in him more, to persevere in him. Because that's what he's looking for. He wants to build, it makes us stronger. The challenges make us stronger. We don't like it, but it makes us stronger. Again, Hebrews chapter 6 calls Jesus our anchor. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You could go into a whole sermon on that, but to not bore you on that, what it is he's our priest. He goes before God. He is continuously praying to the Father for us. Well, why does he need to do that? I mean, they already know everything. Prayer isn't about knowledge. Prayer is about power. It's about releasing God's power into people's lives. And Jesus is constantly praying for us that we would have power released into our life. Okay, now the next part of that vision I opened up with says, I want my children's eyes to set on me, hoping in me, not looking, and I love this term, at the passing panorama of earthly events being played out before them. I mean, our whole life is a passing panorama of earthly events going by. Crap, that didn't turn out well. Look at this. That's a pain. You know, those are the passing panorama of earthly events. And it's not like we're supposed to live in some imaginary world, but God wants us to have our focus on him. Continue on. I want them to look beyond, to look up, to see at last the distant shore towards which we are sailing, filling their hearts and minds, their eyes and ears with me. This is Jesus speaking. This will bring the hope that gives peace. I mean, there's this passing panorama of stuff in our life. I mean, this is our life. I mean, this is my life. I don't know about you, but I mean, you know, with the teenagers and the car breaking down and the accounts overdue and all of the stuff that's going on. And Jesus is saying, I want you to set your eyes on me. And the scripture is 2 Corinthians. So we fix our eyes not in what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So now I'm not talking about some sort of imaginary life. I mean, I have heard the saying, it goes something like this. Well, this is Facebook, so it's got to be right, right? It says, your obnoxious religious tweets and Facebook posts make you so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. I've heard that said a number of times. And I want to tell you that that's a bunch of crap. That is just not true. The real truth is this one, which is the only way to be earthly good is to be heavenly minded. The only way to really bring that peace, to get what it is that we need in our life, is to focus our life on Christ. We're never going to be strong enough. I'm not saying be weak, but I'm saying our strength alone is just not going to get us there. We really need to trust in Him. Again, in Colossians, another scripture says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I mean, when we're talking about going out into looking for that shore, that we're in this boat getting tossed all around and we're heading to the shore. And it's actually more than just that we've got to reach shore. The good news for us is that shore is coming at us too. That the kingdom of God is moving into us. It's moving towards us. It's coming to us. God wants to get to us even sooner than we want to get to Him. He wants us to know that He's after us, that we are His people. That the kingdom of God is coming. And it's here. And it's here soon. All of those things. If you read the scripture, it's confusing. Jesus said the kingdom of God is here. And then He says it's coming. And then He said it will be here soon. And then He says it's delayed. You're going, which one? And the answer is, yeah, all of them. The kingdom of God is moving in like waves coming at us. There's an old song. It says, people get ready, there's a new day coming. And there's a way in which there's something new coming. And I want to guarantee you of that. Jesus is coming. That is absolutely true. That's a guarantee. You can go to the bank on that one. I am 65 years old, so I am even much closer, I know, to the assurance that Jesus is coming. He's coming to my life soon. 15, 20, if I'm lucky, 25 years. And I haven't been that lucky, but I know he'll be coming for me. He may come sooner. He may come tonight, this afternoon, tomorrow. But Jesus is coming. And we think that that's not the case, but it is. I want to play for you, and some of you may not like this one, but it's a worship song. It's a worship set. It's a group called IHOP, which is not pancakes. It is the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And they worship and pray 24/7. And they've been doing it for a number of years. And they have new bands coming in. This is part of one of the worship sets. They sing, I actually cut a minute off of the front and back of this video because they sang the same thing. Not that it wasn't something we ought to hear for another 2 minutes, but, and you tell me what the punchline is on this. This is pretty heavy duty worship, so hold on.
People get ready, Jesus is coming. Their fingers in their ears singing da 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 da. I don't want to hear the sound of the coming King. And there are people walking around with their fingers in their ears singing da 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 da. I don't want to hear the sound of the coming King. But He says, I was silent like a lamb. I was silent like a lamb. And in my silence, you know. I've been praying for your soul. I've been once again, I'm gonna shake everything that can be shaken. Once again, I'm gonna break everything that can be broken. Once again, I'm gonna shake everything that can be shaken. Once again, I'm gonna break everything that can be broken. Once again, I'm gonna shake everything that can be shaken. Once again, I'm gonna break everything that can be broken. Once again, I'm gonna shake everything that can be shaken. Once again, I'm gonna break everything that can be. 'Cause I'm about to shine. Shine a gold with a voice of triumph. Shine a gold with a voice of praise. For the Lord our God will go up with a shout. He will go up with a shout. Shine a gold with a voice of triumph. Shine a gold with a voice of praise. Shine a
on for another couple minutes, just like that. If you didn't get the words, don't worry, I'm going to tell them to you. I just thought that was a great worship set. That kind of thing is going on, I wouldn't say 24/7 at that level, but there's a lot going on all the time there. And it's something in which they're just really seeking the power of God. The very first verse that we heard here, and she actually isn't singing the song. I downloaded the lyrics to the song, and she's worshiping. So she's using a verse here, a verse there, that kind of thing. So I want to share with you a little from both. But first things, the first verse that she sings, she says, people walking around with their fingers in their ears singing da-da-da-da-da. I don't want to hear the sound of the coming king. And that's what we're coming up against. People who go, I don't want to hear. I mean, there's actually a scripture that Jesus says through Isaiah, I say to my people, here I am, but they don't hear me. We want to hear Jesus is coming. Absolutely. I mean, he's going to bring all that we've been striving after. He's going to have all for us all that we've wanted. He's bringing justice to the earth where there has been no injustice. And he's not weak. We keep thinking he's some sort of weak God, some sort of statue type of God that you put on the dashboard or up in front of the church. But I mean, I love this one. It was one of the last things she sang, which is, he's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on a cross. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's a, I could fill in the other 2 minutes that I got. He's alive. People, get ready. There's a new day coming. God's been very patient with us. But we can't count on that going on forever. This is my hellfire and brimstone sermon, by the way. So this is where I really get wild. But it's, she sings in there, but he says, I was silent like a lamb. I was silent like a lamb. And in my silence, you thought that I was altogether like you. I've been silent. I've held my peace for a long, 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 long time. I held my peace and I have been praying for your soul. I have been praying for the nations. I have interceded for your soul. But I held my peace for a long, long time. And he says in here, the lyrics that were actually part of the song says something similar but a little expanded. Well, I've held my peace for a long, long time. And in my silence, you thought that I was altogether like you. And in your heart, you were settled in complacency. You said, I won't even respond. You said, he's not interested. You said, he's dead and gone. But I've been silent for such a long, 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 long time. But I'm about to gasp, to pant, to cry out, and I'm going to shout. Oh, I had the words, sorry. And this is the other part of it. And then it says, once again, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Once again, I'm going to break everything that can be broken because I'm about to shine. The things that we rely on, that we think are going to bring us security, that is going to bring us peace, is not. Because only He is. He may use some of those things for a time, but He has not forgotten us. Psalm 77 says, once again, let me read this again. Once again, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Once again, I'm going to break everything that can be broken. Because I am, is the name of God, about to shine. God is about to shine. And Psalm 77 says to us, has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? And the answer is no. But he is shaking things up. He spoke through the prophet Nehemiah and he said, I also shook out the folds of my robe, this is God speaking, and said, in this way may God shake out his house and possessions, every man who does not keep his promise. So such a man be shaken out and emptied. If you're finding trials and tests in your life, it may very well be because God is shaking you out. The old proverb, a picture, as I'm saying, has a mind of, we grab a guy by the ankles and shake him up and down like that and see what falls out of his pockets. Because he wants to get rid of the stuff that we put before him. The things that we trust in before him. He wants us to find the peace right where we're at with him. And he wants to warn. He's going to start with the people of God. He started when he came the first time with the Israelites, with the Jews. And he brought judgment there. He's going to start with the people of God, the church of God. Matthew 7, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away with me, you evildoers. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. And you know Jesus is the rock. But, you never like but, especially in the Bible. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. He's trying to tell us of his people and what he is expecting. He wants us to be doers of the words, not just hearer of the word. And the funny thing that at the end, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. They saw the power behind what he was saying. They knew that he really meant what he was saying. He was talking about the day of the Lord coming. The day of the Lord is coming. The day is that final day, that judgment day. When he says, okay, did you listen to me? Did you seek me? Do I know you? I mean, this is talking about, he says, I never knew you. You know what the word know means in the Bible? When Sarah knew Abraham, that was pretty intimate. That was the word for intercourse. When he says, I never knew you, I never was intimate with you. I never knew you in a way in which you were seeking after me, and you were my lover wanting me and only me, so much me. But that's what he's calling us to. He's calling his people. Because on the day of the Lord, we don't want him to say, I don't remember you. Did you ever call on me? Did you ever talk to me? Did you ever listen to me? There's a good one. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. For me, I know the outer limits, 20 some years maybe. Maybe this afternoon, the day of the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his works will be shown by what it is, because the day of the Lord, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's works. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. One of the scriptures actually says, some of you will make it to heaven, but you'll have the smell of smoke on you. It's that kind of thing. He's saying, I want to test what you're doing. This is serious stuff. This isn't just church with potluck dinners afterwards. This is serious, serious stuff. I want to work in people's lives. I want to change your lives. I want to heal people. I want to restore. I want to bring them that peace that's way beyond any understanding that we have. Anything we can get on our own, no matter how hard we strive. The striving we need to do is to strive after Jesus, to go after him. Because otherwise, we're going to face that once again, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Once again, I'm going to break everything that can be broken, because I am, who's Jesus, about to shine. That's what God's calling us to. Would you turn the lights back on? And I want to take time to just really turn our hearts to the Lord and ask him to really work in our lives. I want us to be,